does it?
We've watched them all, the games. There's didn't have read as many of the comments I could find on it. I think everybody's got pretty much the same idea where the offense is created. What we want to try to do is explore as many different things in practice that we think are game changers on the ice. Kind of put two or three simple rules into how we'll approach it, and then just put your best players on the ice and let them execute it.
The mix of 1D and two forwards, or sometimes three forwards, is that the way you see going forward?
Yeah. This is new. Like, even practicing it, 3-on-3 in practice was either a fun skate or a skate for extras, right? So it's never even really been practiced properly. Guys stay too long. They throw long bomb passes, low percentage payoff plays, and now the exact opposite comes in as an important. You got to get your shift length right. You got to pick your offense. It's kind of everything that you do 5-on-5. You got to turn it upside down. You know, you're not screaming shoot the puck. You're saying pick your shot. You know, so it'll be interesting, exciting.
And last for me, the Lowry Stafford Burmistrov line. How would you? It's an interesting mix, and it's new, relatively. How would you describe it, and how do you see their role going into the season?
Well, three smart guys. So their physical abilities may be slightly different. Staff's been a scorer in this league. Burmy's kind of a little bit of a dynamic guy with the puck, but he's been schooled really well defensively. And Adam is just more prototypical of a guy that's going to play against the other team's best, big, strong centerman. So we see them being able to handle big minutes, and it's a role that we want to push Adam in. But when you play against better offensive players, you also get your chance too. So we think with Staff there on the right, I really liked his last two exhibition games. I thought it was really strong. It gives us kind of three veterans, even though the one guy's a bit of a rookie in some ways, to help with that job. Ran Little's line with Ladd and Frolik very, very consistently in that role last year, and did with Scheif's line at times. With Perreault there, it wasn't exactly what you wanted in a line to do that job. And then when you go through and I've gone through my game cards from last year, the number of different combinations we had in our third and fourth line was just shocking. So I can't tell you what we did in those lines. It was different every five games. I think our structure might be better than it was. Well, it's probably better than it was when we started, for sure, last year. We just got to stay a little healthier.
I'm not sure if being a coach in the league for so long would give you any perspective on this, but the NHL and NHLPA are talking about thinking there's increased drug use. From where you sit as a coach, I don't know what you would see, but have you seen any changes over the time that you've been in the league?
I've just gotten older, you know. I mean, I haven't... The clear answer is absolutely not. These players seem to be more fit, more dedicated, less time in recreation and relaxing, and more time in training and recovery. That being said, I've always just thought with our league, it's just a pretty normal mirror of the world. So if there's an increase in drug use or some kind of extracurricular activity in normal society, then that's going to be true in the NHL as well. But I will tell you that the program that they have in the NHL is fantastic, and it's very, very private, and they do a wonderful job of keeping that private. But I think they're very proactive with it. So I'm all for it. I'm all for anything that they can do to help players early on either deal with a problem they're struggling, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a mental issue. I think they have the resources there to reach out. I also think that because the players have a general idea in their own room of anybody that might be availing themselves of that program, it's far more accepted than it was 10, 15 years ago. If you need help, ask for it. I think it's fantastic.
Interested in your thoughts on Rafi Torres' 41-game suspension.
So I'm a bigger suspension proponent. My complaint is always the relativity of our suspensions to somebody else's, but I'm all for that. I understand at times where there's a reluctance to put a big number on it because there's the benefit of doubt the player deserves. And the first line is, I didn't mean to. You know, I didn't mean to catch him like that. And in a lot of players, that's the truth. But it's still suspension, so we get a small number and we live with it. But there's no benefit of the doubt anymore for Mr. Torres. He's crossed that line too many times, so there isn't a number that would have surprised me.
Paul, Dustin wasn't out there for practice today. Is that maintenance?
There's more to that story. I'm not sure I'm qualified to give it out. It's a good one. It's. What do we do with those? You know, we'll see tomorrow. I might have something for you tomorrow. But Dustin probably should make the announcement if there is anything to announce tomorrow. It's not really not my place, right? Especially because if he's got family out there. Okay. Dustin, a maintenance day?
Lower body or upper body?
Depends how long it's been.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Is there anything on Thomas Raff?
What's that?
Is there anything on Thomas Raff? Sorry.
And yeah, so by 5 o'clock today, we have to have a decision made and paperwork done, and this thing is somewhat complicated in that, but there will be something done by 5 today.
Is that because of your understanding with Salzburg or the NHL?
I don't think it has any issues with the understanding of the NHL. I think it's fairly clear and clean what's going on, but phone lines and things like that, it just takes longer to do things.
Okay.